We are thankful that God has blessed us with the afternoon portion of the worship. We are so thankful so many have stayed to be a part of the assembly. And if you don't mind, since you have been sitting for a couple of minutes, I want you to go ahead and stand up for just a minute, get the blood circulating, and then we'll sit back down. Now, Brother Bailey, we certainly appreciate him for leading us in those Vacation Bible School songs. And he said it was getting tough now because he's almost 30. I can almost remember 30. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. Certainly thankful again for the great opportunity to be here with the Highland Heights Church of Christ. Amen. And just so that you know, ordinarily we do have evening worship at the Fifth Ward congregation at 6 p.m. So this is my nap time right about now. So we're going to see and make sure that I don't nap. So y'all help us out. We've been studying at the Fifth Ward congregation in our Wednesday night Bible class. We're studying through the book of Revelation. That's the apocalypsis. The word apocalypsis deals with the word of uncovering. And the uncovering is singular. It's not plural. There is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when you get to Revelation chapter 1 and we start talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's the uncovering of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. The book of Revelation for many folk, even in the church, is a scary book. People won't read from it, study from it, teach on it. But it's important for us to recognize that if God gave it to us, he gave it to us for a reason. And there are times in our lives when we need to have a revelation, an uncovering of Jesus Christ. The church was going through a very, very precarious, difficult time at this time. And God showed them what they needed to see to get through what they were going through. It also has an application for the church of Christ even today. And for the book of Revelation chapter 3, I actually selected Philadelphia to look at Philadelphia around verse number 7, which is the church that is one of the two congregations that is without rebuke. One of the two congregations, seven churches, and these were actually physical congregations that were located all throughout Asia. And the number 7 in biblical numerology represents complete. They're the four corners of the earth, which is earthly completeness. They're the three that are in heaven, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. So 3 plus 4 in my high advanced mathematics is 7. And you've got earthly completeness and you've got spiritual completeness. So you've got completeness. So that number of 7 churches can in fact represent the church as it exists today. Now, when we are teaching this in our classes for Bible study, it takes about 3 weeks before we can get to this point where we can introduce it. And I have a couple of our students here that are also from the Fifth Ward Church of Christ Biblical Institute. I happen to be one of the administrators for the school, so there are some serious and deep and after worship study that goes on in those classes, and you're welcome to enroll and take any of these classes. So this is a challenging section, and I don't have time to preach for about 4 hours before we get to it, so I'm going to give you some highlights. And hopefully we'll be able to carry along. In Revelation chapter 2, we see a consistent message to all of the 7 churches. Jesus says to them, "I know your works." And we need to make sure that we understand that God knows our work. No one may ever call your name. You might not be in the bulletin, and no one might ever come up to you and say, "Thank you for the work that you did." But it's okay. The Lord knows our works. And we don't work so that people will compliment us anyway. Is that right? Amen. We work because we serve the great God of heaven. We're not going to work our way to heaven. We don't work to get into heaven. We work because we're saved. We don't work to be saved. I hope you can follow that. because we're working because we're saved. We've been hired by the God of heaven. Two churches, the Church of Philadelphia, and we refer to Philadelphia most often in the church as brotherly love. Well, the name of the place that's called Philadelphia actually was a city that a brother gave the name to because he loved his brother. He conquered and he named the city after Philadelphia. And when somebody said, he gave the city to his brother, and somebody said, well, he loved his brother. And we think of Philadelphia as the land of brotherly love today. He loved his brother. God knows. And he says in verse number 7, so Revelation 3 and verse number 7, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man open. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, this is what the one who is holy says. Who is that? None other than Jesus Christ, because we have the revelation of Jesus that God gave unto him, and Jesus is holy. Jesus is true. He hath the key of David. You see him referred to throughout the Bible. Son of David, when the beggars were sitting by the wayside. Son of David, have mercy on me. He's the one that inherited the throne that David sat on. And they looked for him to rule an earthly kingdom, but Jesus' kingdom was not of this earth. But as members of the family of God, we have citizenship in heaven while we live on earth. God is our King, and Jesus shows us that he knows our works. He that hath the key of David, he that openeth. When Jesus opens a door, you might as well get used for it. Nobody can shut it. Amen. When God opens a door, no man can close it. And if the door is shut, no man can open it, because when God opens it, it stays open as long as God wants it open. You need to know that, because sometimes even in the body of Christ, you will have folk that rise up against you. Folk will put stumbling blocks in your way. But brother, listen, sister, listen, if God is for you, it does not matter who is against you. If God is for us, we will be overcomers. And in the book of Revelation, we find that God expects for his people to be overcomers. There are things that are challenging in life, things that are difficult in life, and God expects for us to come through. He knows our works. In Revelation 3 and verse number 8, he says to the church at Philadelphia, he says that, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Little strength. Now, this is interesting, because Philadelphia was built on a fault line where earthquakes come through. And that city had been devastated. It had been destroyed numerous times. The city was built by the Greeks. But of course, the Romans are now the ones who are in power. And it was a city that had to be rebuilt over and over again. The Greeks built it to spread their culture and their language across the world. But when Rome inherited it as a matter of conquest, this place had to be rebuilt so many times, and they had become dependent upon government subsidy. Yes, they had welfare even in this time. This is in the first century AD. They were a welfare city. Now, if you know anything about welfare, oftentimes people look down upon you if you are on welfare. And I'm not fighting welfare. I grew up on welfare. And I thank God that the welfare was coming, because we fared well with the welfare. You don't know about government cheese, and you don't know about government milk, and you don't know about those powdered eggs. Because when we lost the farm and we were moving to, it wasn't really the city, we just were closer to the city.
But brother, I'm telling you, sister, there were days when those powdered eggs and that cheese and that milk was what we needed to get through that day. Amen. And brother, when we started going to school, we're going to school and they gave you a lunch card. Y'all don't know about that. Lunch card. It had five spots where you could punch on the lunch card. And folk thought that I was rich when I walked up there and I came and I was getting my lunch from the government punch card. I put my punch card on there and I got free lunch. And folk looked at me and it's like, yes, yes. But then there were others that looked down upon you. Mm. I'm going to tell you something. I learned a long time ago, I don't worry about what people got to say. You know what I did when I got my punch card punch and I got my lunch? I went and I sat down and I ate my lunch. But Philadelphia has a little strength. You know what they learned in Philadelphia? Now, you read this in history when you were in school, so I'm sharing with you some historical stuff. Somebody say, Brother Ray, where is that in the Bible? Didn't you go to school? Well, we pass by it sometimes. But here, what they learned is that they needed to depend on God. Amen. Have you learned that yet in life? And sometimes God has to strip us down and take away all of that stuff that we have that we think that we need and we really don't in order for us to learn what we really need is to learn how to trust and depend upon God. This was a city that was dependent upon imperial welfare, and they were getting that welfare and they relied and depended upon God. They got to the point where there were no crops for them to bring in to eat. What do you do when there is no food? Now, we don't know about growing our own food. Sister asked me about my garden because we on Facebook and we talk about the stuff that we planted in our garden and stuff and put pictures on there. And I've put cucumbers on there that grew in my garden before. I got some squash that are still putting yellow stuff out there. She asked me, how's your garden growing? I said, it's burnt up. It's burnt up. I put water out there. The only thing I had left was some spinach, but the squash are putting out yellow bulbs, but they're not putting any squash on there. I'm going and watering, but it's burnt up. But there's a time when we had to depend upon what we brought in out of the fields. We don't know about that. But when the fields don't produce, and when there's no food in the grocery store, and there's nothing on the shelves. You know, when Hurricane Harvey came through and it shut down everything, and all of a sudden a bottle of water skyrocketed about five times. You couldn't get ice, those kinds of things. You can imagine when you go to the store and all the stuff has gone off the shelf. We learn, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Amen. I'm going to depend upon God. And Philadelphia had learned to depend upon God. They had a little strength. According to Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 8, thou hast a little strength. And they learned with that little strength to depend on God. And notice he says, and has kept my word. When they learned to depend upon God in verse number 8, not only did they depend upon God, he says, and you kept my word. Now, it's not hard to keep the word of God when everything is going well. You know when the challenge is to keep the word of God, to hold on to God? It's when things are going really, really bad. Amen. When we talk about tribulation, we talk about personal earthquake, and even if you had crops and you can't sell your crops because you won't take the mark of the beast, that you would be a part of the trade guilds to sell your crops. And if you don't have the right mark, then you couldn't buy crops for the stuff that was there to be bought. And then you had some folk that were members of the church. They go like, well, God knows my heart. Y'all ever heard that before? God knows my heart. God knows that I got to feed these children. And some folk would go like, okay, yeah, you know, I got the mark. Or they would use the number of the beast. And there were other Christians that say, look, I'm standing for God. I'm not going to do that. But then they look down on the folks that did do it. Brother, you don't know, sister, what you would do in a situation unless you're put in that situation. But we have to make up our minds ahead of time. And there were folk at the Church of Christ in Philadelphia. The door was open and no man could shut it.
They had even their people that had kept the word of God, that had not denied the name of God. In verse number 9, behold.
Whenever you see that word behold in the Bible, you have to pay attention. Again, this is a challenging section because, again, without doing the preparatory work to get here, it's a little bit challenging. But see if you can hold on for a little bit longer. You haven't fell out yet. Hold on. Behold. When you see the word behold in the Bible, that means pay attention. If you're riding along all of a sudden and you have to stop and hit the brakes, if you ever notice that people that are in the car that are sleeping while you're driving, if you stop on the brakes real quick, they wake up. What happened? Well, when you see behold, that's like the stop sign. All of a sudden you jam on the brake. And if you see low, that means pay attention. And if you see low and behold, that means you really need to wake up and pay attention. King James translation does that. When you go through some of the other translations, you lose some of that out of there. But he says, behold. That means, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come. You know what? Those folk gonna bow down at your feet. You see, the God that we serve knew that the children of God in the city of Philadelphia were going through some hard times. And they had Jews that were persecuting Christians. Now, it's something else when you find that folk that you would think would be sympathetic to you are the ones that are persecuting you. Now, that's like, now, y'all don't know about this. You didn't grow up in my time, you don't know about this, but there were some people that they would call a different kind of name because they were in positions of power, and then somebody like me would come up there and I need some of their services, and they treated me worse than the folk that were the ones that let them be in power. Y'all don't know about that. Y'all don't know about that. I'm going to ask you for a vocabulary test after this, see if you knew, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, but now, those folk that were Jews were rising up and persecuting the church in the latter part of the first century more than the Romans were. And what God says to them through this example, he actually reverses a statement here that we see that was given to them in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse number 14, because here the Gentiles were going to be providing for the Jews, but now he's turning it around where the Jews were going to be providing for the Gentiles. God says, I'm going to make them bow down and worship at your feet. Point here is, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your difficulty is, number one, God knows. So take that with you. God knows whatever you're going through. Good, bad, or indifferent, God knows. Now, just a test to make sure that you're awake. Let me hear you say to the person next to you in front on side, God knows.
God knows.
Okay, and if they didn't say something, then y'all nudge them. Make sure they still with it. God knows, brother.
God knows.
I know your works. And those folk that are against you, don't you try to get them yourself. Anybody ever tried to get somebody back? Anybody? Anybody ever tried to get somebody back? Now, you know some of y'all. Oh, y'all all great, wonderful Christian people. Don't nobody try to get nobody back, huh?
Yeah, they did.
All right, I see Brother John Bell back there. Brother John and I go way back. I told Brother Stroud that he's one of the two brothers who's partially responsible for me getting married. We're going to talk afterward, Brother Johnny. but he and his wife, Betty, and I, John, we went to a movie a long time ago. Yes, we went to a movie. Mm-hmm. You know. And because John A. and Sister Betty didn't get out and do a lot of movies, but the name of the movie, okay. The name of the movie was called, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. And we thought it was funny. But do you know that there are people that live their life like that?
Yep.
I'm going to get you, sucker. I'm going to get you back. But do you know who vengeance belongs to?
The Lord.
Vengeance does not belong to me. Vengeance does not belong to you. Is Matthew 5:12 still in the Bible?
Yeah.
Matthew 5:12, make sure your cousin is awake here. I think that's still in the Bible. But now look.
Brother, listen. Sister, listen. Don't you be distressed when folk rise up against you. Because God is good, and vengeance belongs to who?
God.
And I know we want to get folk back, don't we? Let somebody cut you off on the road. Somebody hit my wife's car last week, and I didn't ask her any details. She and another sister were in the car, and this guy hit the car, and two sisters got out the car. Let you get that for a minute. I don't know what he's on. He gave insurance, license, and all kind of stuff. Turn all that information over. Matthew 5:12 is still in the Bible. What does it say?
Rejoice and be exceeded.
Rejoice. Rejoice how much?
Exceedingly glad for great is
rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Wait. Why? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Back up one verse.
For great
is your reward
in heaven. For so persecuted they
the prophets
which were before you.
So when people rise up against you, and it's all manner of evil that rises up against you, when we've got challenges come and something happens, even if it's from folk in the church, folk that you think ought to be on your side, what do you do? Rejoice and be. Is he reading that right?
And be exceedingly
glad. Rejoice and be.
Exceedingly glad.
Exceedingly glad.
For great is your reward.
Do you have that time when scripture hits you all of a sudden? You know, you've read it over and over again and you get a revelation. It's like an uncovering. Well, sometime, a few weeks ago, that verse of scripture hit me. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And after that hit me one Lord's day, I ran out. I started hugging a brother and say, you know, I'm brother, love you. God bless you. Rejoice.
Amen.
And be exceedingly glad.
For great is
don't,
your reward.
Don't go about and say, I'm going to get you, sucker. Because God can handle it. Just rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So the next time that you have a falling out with somebody, what do we have falling out with people about? Now, I was in line and they're getting my food, and then somebody broke in line in front of me. Oh, wait, no, that was me. I was the one that broke in line. But I was only kidding. I just went and I jumped in front of Brother James, and I was just trying to see if he was going to pay attention. And I broke in front of the line and broke in because my wife was back there and I was going to go back and get in line. And then she saw me break in front of the line with him. What is she? That's right. And she came on up. You know, now I hope nobody got angry. But you know folk can get upset if you break in line. You're in the grocery store and you're in the checkout line and somebody roll up in front of you. And you go like, don't you see me standing here, bro? Rejoice and be what?
Exceedingly glad.
Be happy.
Be exceedingly glad.
Does that sound like us, y'all? No, thank you, sister. But since we're being a more spiritual meet in 2023, when all of this stuff happens against us, you know what we're going to do? No, go ahead, brother. That's all right. Go ahead. You know what? Matter of fact, can I pay for that for you? That's when they break in a line in front of us. We're going to rejoice and be exceeding glad because God knows our works. And you know, he says, you have a little strength. We have a little strength. Why? Because we have learned how to depend on God. And when we learn how to depend on God, brother, listen, that's all that truly matters. If we get anything else, in this life, good, bad, or indifference, you know what? We are going to learn how to rejoice in the Lord. You see, in the book of Romans chapter 2, it gives us an indication of who the real Jews are. You see, the Jews are not people that have the circumcision of the flesh of the foreskin. The Jews are the ones who have the circumcision of, Brother Bailey, where was that heart that you was talking about? It wasn't here? Oh, that's up here. Okay. The circumcision of the heart. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 29, the Bible says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, read, and not in the letter,
whose
praise is not of men, but of God. Praise God when we follow the word of God, and when we're going through difficult times, or even when we're going through great times, praise the God that we serve. That word, alleluia. Anybody ever say that before? Alleluia. You know, alleluia means praise God. So when somebody comes up and they start singing, alleluia, alleluia, what you're saying is praise God. Amen. It's all right to say alleluia. In the church house, don't get upset if somebody say, alleluia. That's praise God, because we're going through some things. And if you're not going through some stuff, don't be upset because somebody else is rocking and moaning and praising God, saying stuff, because in the Church of Christ, sometimes you got to be careful because you might get escorted out. Saying, alleluia. Oh, no. Alleluia. God is able. God will deliver us. We have to learn in our life. Psalm 27. And Psalm 27. And let's get around verse number 14. The Church of Christ in Philadelphia. It's an amazing thing. So we got Ephesus and we got Smyrna. Smyrna is the other church that did not receive any condemnation. It's Smyrna or Sardis, Smyrna. So we had two congregations, and both of them had learned how to depend upon God. Seven congregations, and all of them, when you read at all of them had trouble. Now, in the church, we do have people that sometimes want to find where the perfect church is. Have you found it yet? Is it a church without condemnation? This is one of the things that came up at the lectureship. And they have people, y'all might not have ever heard of this before. This is a thing called church hopping. Have you ever heard of church hopping? Folk hop from one congregation to the other. They do some church hopping. So I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to go over there, because y'all ain't right over here. They are over there, and they are a perfect church. And one of the brothers at the lectureship says, well, whenever you get where you're going, let us know, because we know now that that church ain't perfect no more. Church, Psalm 27, that's still there. You got it? Go ahead, read.
Which 14? 14.
Did I say it? I didn't say it?
No. Wait on the Lord.
Wait on who?
On the Lord.
Wait now. Okay, y'all got to help me again. Make sure folk are awake. Say to the person next to you, wait on the Lord.
Wait on the Lord.
We got to learn this, brother. We got to learn this, sister, because I'm going to tell you, sometimes it seems like God is not on our timetable. And instead of us waiting on the Lord, we say, Lord, I'm going to help you out on this. I'm going to tell you, whenever we start helping God out, you know what messes up? We mess it up. Wait on the Lord.
Be of good courage.
Be faithful. Be strong. Have good courage. I have confidence. Do we have confidence in God? Amen. See, the church at Philadelphia, in their poverty, they had learned. It doesn't matter what the government does. And brother, I can tell you some stuff politically right now. And some of y'all would be for it and some of y'all would be against it, but you can talk politics later. But God does hold us accountable for what we do while we're here, even in the public sphere. Mm. And when you go to Matthew's gospel, when you get over there to the 25th chapter and you start talking about what Jesus is going to say in the last day, he was saying, I was in jail and you didn't come see me. I was sick.
You didn't visit me. I was hungry. You didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty. You didn't give me anything to drink. I was naked. You didn't give me any clothes. You didn't help me. And you know, Lord, when, you know, when did we see you? And we didn't do this. You know what he said? Inasmuch as you didn't do it to the least. See, if we don't learn how to help somebody, even in our poverty, why would God want to help us? Wait on the Lord. Be of how much courage?
Good courage.
Be of good courage. Read. You didn't change. You didn't move, did you?
Off a different
14. I know I haven't finished. Okay, I think I've got it. And he says, and he shall strengthen
thine heart.
And he shall strengthen thine heart. You know, when we learn how to trust God, when we learn how to wait on God, when we learn how not to put it in our own power and to do things ourselves, then God has opened a door for us. And when God opens the door, doesn't matter what anybody else does. Man can't shut it. And if God closes it, no man
can open it.
Revelation 3:8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. When you drop down to verse number 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Well, there's some lesson there. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, he says, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. You've kept the word of my patience. And you know, that's an amazing thing, is that we have to learn how to depend on God. It's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. And if we're going to be a more spiritual me in 2023, you know what I've got to learn how to do? I've got to learn how to trust and depend on God and not trust and depend on me. A more spiritual me, he says in verse number 11, Revelation 3 and verse number 11.
Behold,
there's that word again. What happens when you see behold?
Stop and look.
Stop, look, wake up, pay attention. Behold what?
I come quickly.
Now, again, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. And what John did is he wrote down the things that he saw. It was sent and it was signified. It's a book of signs. We have to learn how to read the signs. And he says, behold,
I come quickly.
I am coming quickly. That you're going through, how long? How long am I going to go through it? Oh, man, how long? You know what God said to the saints that were under the altar? He says, rest yet a little season. It won't be long. It won't be long. But did he take them out of the difficulty? He did not. All right. Brother Bailey was talking about working out. Didn't you mention something about going to the gym? You know, who is that said that? Somebody. Okay, all right. With the K.
Yeah.
Kenton. You. Say it again. Kenton, he did it. He was talking about working out and getting that burn and everything. All right. Oh, you said it too? Okay, all right. But when you go to the gym, you know, resistance training means that you got to have something to resist. You got to have something to push against. And that's how you build muscle. But one thing that was not quite correct, and you check it out from a physiological standpoint, I use my big word, y'all, is that when you're doing the working out, you're actually tearing down the muscle. When you tear it down, it tells your body to build it back stronger. So when you do the workout, you're tearing it down, and as it grows back, it comes back stronger.
So as we go through these things, we learn how to trust in God. But every time that we take it away from God and we start doing it ourselves, then we're losing the opportunity to grow as spiritual men and spiritual women. Understand, behold, I come quickly.
Hold that fast.
Hold that fast. Don't give up.
Which?
Don't give up, brother. Don't give up, sister. We're back in the at the end of July now. At the beginning of the year, they have so many people that sign up for workout exercise programs. There's a flood of people going to the gym, signed up. 3 weeks later, a whole lot of them, you know, this workout said this hard. It's working out to kill you. Brother Stroud, put some of your numbers on my phone so it'll look like I did the workout. It doesn't work that way. You have to do your own work. I have to do my own work. And what the Lord says is, hold fast that which thou hast.
That no man take your crown.
You've got to do it for yourself, brother. You've got to do it for yourself, sister. Verse number 12. Let's get this one. We're going to wrap it up.
Him that overcometh. Will I make a pillar in the temple of my God?
Man, we got some pillars around here. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar. Now, you know what a pillar is? A pillar, when you look back and you look at the Roman columns, that's like the pillars that the building would stand upon. You have the support beams and all of that. I have a lesson that I did about 35 years ago from this. It's called Fix My Feet, O Lord. Fix My Feet. I will make a pillar in the house where...
In the temple of my God.
I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God. So now, if God makes me a pillar in the temple, you know what that means? I ain't going nowhere. I might have to translate that. Everybody didn't seem to answer. I am not going anywhere. There are no perfect congregations. There are no. Fix my feet, or I will make a pillar in the temple
of my God.
Of my God.
And he shall go no
more out. And he shall go out. What?
No more out.
We ain't leaving?
No more out.
Okay, I guess y'all better heat up the kitchen again. Let's get something going here. Make us a pillar in the temple of my God. Fix my feet, O Lord. Don't move. We're going to just stay. What would it be like if we just lived in the house of God, reading, studying, and praying, and all of that? Somebody say, well, somebody got to go to work. Boy, I tell you. But God says to us, you have a little strength. And even when we think that we have a lot of strength, the point here is that if we're going to be without rebuke, if we're going to be spiritual men and women, somewhere along the way, we have to learn how to trust in God, not in ourselves. Not in man, and all will be well with our souls when we learn how to trust in God. And you know where that church without rebuke is going to be? It's going to be in the glorified kingdom of God, because he's going to take out everything that has spot or wrinkle or causes offense. When we have the purified kingdom of God, that is, our citizenship is in heaven. And when we go to live with God in that celestial kingdom, then none of that riffraff, none of that stuff is going to make it there. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you believe tonight Jesus is God's son, then you can repent, as we said on this morning, turn from self and sin, turn to God, confess your belief in Christ, be baptized in water. That will add you to the body of Jesus Christ. And now you can be a pillar in the temple of God. You can be a support-bearing beam in the house of God. We stumble, we fall, we make mistakes as members of the family of God. We come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. If there are any subject to the invitation, why don't you take this time and make it known as we stand and we sing the song that is selected. Amen.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today, calling today.